The epistle for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the letter of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings as to many, but as to one, and to thy offspring, who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the scripture shut up all things under sin, that by the faith of Jesus Christ, the promise might be given to those who believe. Please stand for the gospel. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go on thy way, for thy faith has saved thee." Please be seated. In his attempt to find the deeper meaning in today's gospel reading, the great St. Augustine asked the question, why is it that the Lord God made man in Jesus Christ, told the 10 lepers to show themselves to the priest? He did not, when he cured the blind, the deaf, the lame, the possessed, ordered them to go to the priest. St. Augustine also observes that on another occasion, when a leper appeared before him, Christ told him to go to the priest and to offer the sacrifice prescribed by Moses. Why was it that the lepers were to appear before the priest of the Old Testament? Because in the book of Leviticus, it was the duty of the priest to determine who had leprosy and also to determine who was cured from it. St. Augustine then says, the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New. And the priests of the old law are fulfilled in the priest of the new. Now the priests of the new law have power over the sacraments and also power over the faith commissioned to the church by Christ himself. He points out that when Paul who was a persecutor of the Christians, was thrown from his horse. The Lord Jesus Christ told him to go into the city of Damascus, and it would be told what he would do next. And while Paul, in his blindness, was confined to the city of Damascus, a revelation was made known to a disciple, Ananias, who came to Paul, not only curing him of his physical blindness, but baptizing him in the faith. Bede the Venerable points out that Cornelius was a pagan, but a good and just man. And when an angel appeared before him, the angel told him that he should send men to bring back Peter from Joppa. And in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, when he arrives, tells Cornelius and his household and friends not only about Christ, but also baptizes them. St. Augustine then concludes that the deeper meaning in today's gospel reading is this, that the leprosy represents those who are false teachers. They are men who do not know the faith of Jesus Christ, but relying proudly upon their own knowledge, they spread their false doctrines. Indeed, when we look at the matter, we can see two points of correspondence between false teaching and leprosy. Leprosy is observable, and so also the bellowings of false teachers can also be readily understood. Secondly, as Augustine remarks, in leprosy there is a mingling of true color of the body with a blemish. And so also in false teaching, there is the mixture of some that is true and the rest that is false. This leads me to say something about faith. We should all rejoice because we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We have received from God Himself the faith. The word faith can be used to designate two slightly different realities. First of all, it is the virtue by which we believe what God has revealed to us. I accept all that the Catholic Church teaches me. Why? Because it is God who has revealed it. The second aspect of faith concerns those things proposed for our belief by the Church herself. Now Christ, the Son of God, revealed to men, the apostles, on whom he built his church, those things that we must believe if we are to save our souls. And down through the ages, God Himself has preserved the teaching of the Catholic Church from all error, whether the attack might come from within, from bad priests, or from without. Therefore, we rejoice and be glad because we are members of the household of God. We belong to the Church, which St. Paul calls the pillar and the ground of faith. Remember that we believe what the Church teaches on the Word of God revealing, who cannot deceive us, nor can he be deceived. As he continues with his observation of today's parable, he notices that of the 10, only one returns to give thanks to Almighty God. And St. Augustine points out that it is necessary for man to give thanks to God for all of the favors that he has received. We have joined here for the celebration of Mass. Mass has, as the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, four purposes. The first and foremost is to adore Almighty God. But the second one is to give him thanks. The third and fourth, of course, to atone to Almighty God for the transgressions we have committed against him. And fourthly, to petition him for the favors we need in this passing life, but more importantly, in order that we may reach our destiny, the beatific vision of Almighty God. And Augustine says, God wants man to give thanks, and God does not want man to do anything except what is for man's good. He calls attention to a verse in one of the Psalms. The sinner borrows but does not repay. It is the just man who borrows and who repays. How is it that we are to repay? We are to repay Almighty God, says St. Augustine, by giving thanks to him for all of the favors that we have received. Now, in this passing world, no one of us is without some suffering. But if we look at matters aright, we are men. We have been created by Almighty God and given reason, which distinguishes us from all other things on the face of this universe. We have been given a destiny, the beatific vision. We have been given the redemption by Jesus Christ. Are not these things more than enough for us to give thanks and praise to God for having bestowed upon us? Of course they are. In today's gospel, there is only one man who returns thanks, and he is not a Jew. And of course, here we can see, at least veiled, the ultimate rejection of the Jews in favor of the Gentiles. But who were the Samaritans? The Samaritans, we might say, were heretical Jews. We'd have to go into Jewish history, which is recorded in the Old Testament. We find out that there was a division among the Jewish people into north and south. The north was called the Israelites, and the south, the Judites. Judah and Israel were the two divisions. They warred against each other from time to time. And the Israelites were finally conquered by the Assyrians and taken away in exile. The Assyrians planted pagan peoples in that area. And these people, because they did not acknowledge the supremacy of the Lord God, were punished by Yahweh. And so they petitioned the Jewish people in exile to send a priest who would let them know, those who lived in Israel, the laws of God. So the people in Israel were a mixture of the Jews and also of the pagans. And consequently, they were looked upon with great displeasure by the Jewish people. And yet, we see in the New Testament how many times the Samaritans are held up as an example. Christ, remember, told a parable, and the hero of that parable was a Samaritan man. And here, the one who comes and gives thanks to God, for he acknowledges the great gift that was given to him, is a Samaritan. We can see from the expression of Christ how disappointed he is that the treasures he had expended upon the Jewish people are ignored. We are not to be people who are ungrateful. Let us be grateful to Almighty God for the great gift that he has given to us, the faith, For, as St. Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as St. Mark tells us at the end of his gospel, when Christ rose from the dead, he commissioned the apostles to go into the whole world and proclaim his gospel to every creature. He then said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who refuses belief will be damned." A final postscript. For us to be saved, it is necessary that we have faith. But faith is insufficient. We need, in addition, charity. And charity means the love of God and the love of neighbor. And that, of course, is exemplified by the Samaritan in today's gospel. For he alone gave thanks to God for the gifts that he had received. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.